George Washington and his family life. That's our topic on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Peter Lilback, who is the co-author with me of the book called George Washington's Sacred Fire. And providenceforum.org is his website for more information. Dr. Lilback, so great to have you back on the program.
It's always an honor, Jerry. Thanks for having me back.
Sure. All right, before we plow into George Washington and his family life, every once in a while you'll hear some allegation by some modern deconstructionists that George Washington supposedly committed adultery, and they'll even name the lady Sally Fairfax. So let's begin with George Washington and Sally Fairfax.
Well, we do know that there was a Sally Fairfax, that she was part of the community of people and that crossed his circle, and we know that they probably had some strong feelings for each other, and that cannot be denied because some of the early letters that Washington wrote hint at that. And many years later in England, when Sally Fairfax and her husband left to flee America and never came back, when she passed away, that some of those early letters were actually found in her possession, in her, let's say, in her things, the effects that were left behind. Mm-hmm. So we want to say, yes, Washington was a red-blooded young man who had strong feelings. The question is it possible that he actually entered into a relationship that was more than, let's say, strong affections and feelings? The truth is that there is no evidence that that ever occurred, and the likelihood that it would have seems to almost be decisive by the culture and the ongoing relationship between them when Washington was married and continued to have regular public life and friendship with the family. So we know that there was this early feelings. There is evidence of that, but we also know that in that era, to actually engage in a relationship of this magnitude may actually end up leading to a very decisive public disgrace, mm-hmm. potentially a duel, as in the case of Alexander Hamilton. Mm-hmm. These are all sorts of things that are percolating that are very, very painful. But they remained, as couples, extremely friendly and close, and there is no testimony of there being any impropriety. So only historians who want to have a voyeuristic reading into a culture very unlike our own today can make that the case. So what we need to do then, as the way I look at this story, is that perhaps Washington admittedly had strong feelings. There's evidence of that. But was it possible, being the gentleman that he was and a man of character, that he did the right thing and did not let it go the direction that it might have gone? So that's my position, at least at this point.
Sure. So in other words, if you had to bet on it, you would say, no, George Washington never was with that lady, you know, in terms of any kind of intimacy. And if he had been, it would have come out in some way.
I would argue it this way because...
Yeah, go ahead.
I would agree that that would have happened because, first of all, the weight of moral conscience that was part of that culture would have been so great on the lady that she would have agonized over it because she was in a very highly cultured moral setting. And Washington, as a man who was supposed to be a gentleman of the highest order, always said you must do what's right, trying to honor his conscience, he would have struggled. And I think had there been an action like this, it may not have become public, but what would have happened is that they would not have continued to have any kind of formal relationship. There would have been a break. It would have been quiet, perhaps, but they would never cross paths again.
Sure.
But instead, they remained very close friends, which means that their friendship was not able to be denied, but it was not allowed to do that which is wrong. They liked each other,
yeah,
but they did not let it become that which was wrong.
Right.
So I think culturally and historically it's highly unlikely because these kind of affairs that seem to be well, they're every night at 20 of them if you're watching television. That's just what the world is like. That was not what the world was like back then.
Right.
It would have been highly unlikely.
Yeah, and in the example of Alexander Hamilton, he lost a great deal of prestige when it did come out that he had committed adultery and then later on even died in a duel related to some political charges and so forth, but still he was a damaged man by that time. Now, going back to George Washington, tell us about Martha Washington and their relationship. And I understand she was a very devoted Christian.
Yes, it's interesting as we go back into the life of George and Martha. Martha was a widow. She had two children from her earlier marriage. And Washington paid a visit, and they struck up a deep respect for each other and concern, and eventually they married. So Washington marries a woman with two children who had lost her husband. Some say Washington is one of the best businessmen of his day because he married the wealthiest widow in all of Virginia. So she was very, very successful through her husband's success and her own inheritance. So Washington becomes a gentleman raising two stepchildren, and they never were able to have children of their own. We can argue various reasons for that. It's quite possible because Washington had had some severe illnesses in his life, such as he almost died of smallpox as a 19-year-old in Barbados, and then he also had some very severe illnesses that he writes about when he's serving in the military. So it's possible that he was not able to actually have his own children. But Martha obviously had been able to have two children of her own. We don't know why there was the infertility problem, but they never had any children except these two. Now, they had a very close relationship. It's clear that Martha was a woman who believed strongly in spiritual and biblical things. In her day, she was called one of the most godly women in Virginia. And in the death scene of Washington as he's dying, and Martha is there, according to what will become their adopted grandson, which we'll talk about in a minute, he said her Bible was open and she was reading the scriptures at his bedside. So that's an interesting image of how important the Bible was. She was someone who wanted them to go to church regularly. They would take the long several-mile ride on horseback, even when it was very cold, into an unheated church in an unheated buggy. And they would worship there, and that was part of their life. When he was president and they were worshiping in Philadelphia, it was known that when many of the Episcopalian/Anglicans would leave at the end of the service, when the communion service would begin, she would always stay, and Washington would take the children home and then come back with the buggy later to pick her up or have someone pick her up. So she was a very devout lady. There's no question about it. So, which raises an interesting question. Would a woman of that kind of spiritual integrity marry a man who had no interest in spiritual things? That would seem highly unlikely. But we know that George Washington was a church warden, a church vestryman. They together as a family gave regularly to their church, buying a pew, paying for the organ, buying communion elements. In their pew that they purchased was right next to the Ten Commandments, the reredos on the wall, so they were close to the communion table as well. So they were spiritual people. Now, who are their children? Well, they had a daughter that was nicknamed Patsy, and then they had a son that was older. And what happened is that this young girl had an epileptic seizure when she was about 13 or 14, and she died. And it's a very moving section of Washington's writings as he writes letters to family talking about her death and how he's trying to trust in the sovereign providence of God with a proper spirit at the taking of a young lady that he loved. Now, his son, Jackie, who grows up, will actually be kept from the military service that Washington was now leading because Martha said, please don't let my son go to war to fight with you. I cannot bear the thought, having lost my first husband, having lost my daughter, that I'm going to then lose my son as well, and maybe even my husband. And so Washington, wanting his son to be in the military but honoring his wife, prevented him from coming. But finally, He was the war had come to Virginia, and this is getting close to the end when we have the great siege of Yorktown. This is the only time Washington was even able to get close in 8 years' time to his home at Mount Vernon. And his son goes out to visit the camp and begin to participate, and he comes down with camp fever, and he dies. He was a married man.
Oh.
He had two children of his own. So this obviously was a horrendous moment. The great victory at Yorktown for Washington is a heartbreak as well when he loses his only son. But he was married, this son, and he had two children. And so with I actually, they had four children, if I remember right.
But what two that survived, yeah.
They had two that survived, and the decision was, let us adopt these children as our own, our grandchildren, since their father has passed away. And so George Washington adopts two young ladies, Nellie and George Washington Park Custis Washington. Isn't that amazing? He had been called George Washington Park Custis, and when he's adopted, Washington gets entered to his name again. And so they become, if you will, the little children of their later life. They're the ones that will follow the Washingtons into the presidency in Philadelphia and be able to describe the character of his life. And maybe you'll want to talk at some point about the famous question that was asked
Nellie,
his granddaughter, about Washington's faith, because she watched him in his day-to-day life.
Sure. But just real fast, this the boy would be called George Washington Park Custis Washington, when you think about it.
That's right.
That's right. But
So what was his nickname? They called him Tub.
Tub.
They used to call him Wash for short, and so then the nickname was Tub, so Wash Tub. He ends up going to Princeton to be a student.
Oh, wow.
And his property will become Arlington.
Oh.
And that through will actually become what we know today as Arlington Cemetery.
Yeah, which was the property of Robert E. Lee at one point, through marriage. Just real fast, and I'll get into Nellie in just a moment, but Nellie and George, little George, or Tub, let's call him Tub. Okay, what would they be technically to George Washington? Adopted children? Would they be his grandchildren?
Yep,
his step-grandchildren?
We could call them as his children. They were his adopted children.
Okay.
But they were his grandchildren that were adopted as his children. So they were both his grandchildren and technically adopted by him as his own children.
Right. But he and Martha were parents to them. I went to Mount Vernon a couple of years ago, and in one of the tours that they were talking about how he was very strict with Nellie, with her piano practice and so forth. And it was as if, for all practical purposes, George and Martha were the parents then of Nellie and Tub. Now, I understand that when George Washington died, there were some that were wondering, well, you know, was this guy really a Christian man, or, you know, was he more of a deist? And they asked Nellie, his daughter, you know, stepdaughter or granddaughter, whatever, his adopted daughter, what she thought.
That's right. And the historian who wrote that question is a man named Jared Sparks.
Oh.
Jared Sparks becomes the first really full biographer who's trying to deal with the writings of Washington. And that's another story. There had been other efforts to write his life, but he was one of the really significant historians of his life. And so he writes to Nellie and says, the question has come up about the Christian faith of your illustrious father, grandfather, president of our country. And her great summation of what she saw about his life, about his love for the church, his involvement in Christian activities, was summarized in the beautiful words. His motto were, my God and my country, and you may as well doubt his Christianity as you might doubt his patriotism. So in other words, if you're going to doubt his Christianity, you can doubt his... Can anyone think George Washington was not a patriot? He's the father of his own country. That's what he's called in his lifetime. She's saying, as sure as you are of that, you can be just as sure about his Christianity. And I often love to put it this way. You can fool all kinds of people about what you believe from the outside, But the people you can't fool about what you believe are the people who live every day in your life and observe you, especially children who are learning values and beliefs and ideas from you. She said, I've learned that this man was a Christian by living with him every day. You know, historians that want to make Washington into a deist must suppress that witness, which I would argue is witness number one, the one who would know best. And she says, absolutely, he was a Christian. Doubt his patriotism if you doubt his Christianity. But you can't. Well, then you can't the other.
Yep. Okay. And on that note, we'll end. Dr. Peter Loback, again, thanks for being with us. ProvidenceForum.org for more information. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Bye
okay,
now.
Great. Bye-bye.